This one, they're doing that.
8:45 on the clock. Let's call to order the regular meeting of the Gage County Board of Supervisors, Wednesday, September 17th, 2014. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open meeting acts is posted on the east wall behind the media there. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Byers, Setzer. Lyle is currently absent, but he will be in later. He contacted me. The consent agenda is next, and the consent agenda consists of the general agenda. Approval of minutes from the meeting held September 3rd, 2014. Approve all claims through September 17th, 2014 in the amount of... Myron, you're finance chairman, so you watch my back when I read this.
No.
$2,535,405.37. Approved and placed on file, correspondence received. Approved Gage County District Court Summary Fee and Register of Deeds Report for the month of August 2014. Approved specifications and call for bids on 2014-2015 snow removal bids for the courthouse, sheriff, and sheriff station and jail. Veterans Office and parking lots. Bids to be open October 1st at 9:15 a.m. Approved permit number 1003 for North Public Power District. Jerry Entz, must have been filed by Jerry Entz, to bore and encase an electric line in the southwest quarter of Section 13, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, in Riverside Township, and Section 18, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, in Rockford Township. That is the consent agenda, items 1 through 7. I need a motion to approve or disapprove or consider something separately.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Juergens. Nobody wanted to second that $2.5 million.
I need to have a claim number 1409-0204 considered separately. It's for Setzer's Manufacturing for $75.
Okay. Is that okay to amend the motion to second to... Pull that one off. We'll consider that one separate. Okay, so we'll do 1 through 7, including the claims except for the said claim that Kathy just pulled off. I have a... Yes, sir.
And I have a little information on why our claim is so big this time. Whatever.
What Juergens spend it on?
Yeah, that was about right. Now, this includes part of our road bond payment. This includes $1,472,035 for the Adams-Philly Blacktop and $636,542 for the PWF Road west north of Odell there west to constructors for their part of the paving projects done. That totals up to $2,108,577 minus a 10% retainer that Gage County is withholding, and in our discussion the other day, we believe that's for up to a year for any part of that project that needs repair or something needs to be done, that we have a 10% retainer withheld so that if we need to, we have that to fall back on. So a net dollar amount there, $1,897,719.67 was a claim for constructors.
Thank you, Myron. Okay, we have a motion to second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 6-0 to approve. Next, we'll consider claim number 1409-0204 to Setzer's Manufacturing. What was the amount?
$75.
$75. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, seconded by Dorn. Discussion? Vote. 5 in favor, Kathy abstains. All right. Next, we'll move to committee reports. Let's start with building and grounds, winter lights.
Okay, we do have mainly just one thing. We might have two, but the Prince of the Courthouse are probably going to do a fundraiser to buy new flags for all around the courthouse. and we'll probably start on a fundraiser, but the chairman of that group, which happens to be Janet Byers, is communicating with Dave Jones, and we'll be communicating with the Veterans Organization relative to the fundraising and what we do. But Dave, do you want to make any comments on that?
Good morning. I would just like to get some information. This would be polyester flags that they say they are cotton-like texture. They're embroidered stars, so they do look really nice. They're good for windy areas and stuff, so I think that'd be a good substitute for the cotton flags if we couldn't fly them. Like Denny says, I'd like to, you know, run this by the Legion and make sure everything's good. One concern that I think we would have would be if it is a rainy or windy day. We do use the poles that are TV antenna poles, and those do bend easily. So if it would be a wet flag on a pole, they will bend. So this would be a good substitute on a day where it might be rainy, but if it's going to be a, you know, really a bad day for them, we still might not be able to fly them all the time. So.
Do we have anything else? I think we're...
I was going to give an update on the masonry repair work on the east side. He was going to try and start that on the 1st of September. They've had a lot of rain delays up north where they've been working at, and so they're coming next week, scheduled to come next week, which should be good. I think that product works really good in mild temperatures, so it's kind of nice not to have a hot sun shining down on it while it's trying to dry, so... That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Appreciate all you do.
Anything else for equalization?
Nothing new.
Finance and insurance?
Talk a little bit of finance committee. The lady, this Abby Pesco from Verizon that we talked about earlier, installing these units in the vehicles, and then you can get GPS or different things on them. She did send me back an email, told her that we were visiting and not really interested in doing it because we weren't sure we were going to get enough back for the cost of the thing. But she sent me a couple emails since then in the past 2 weeks, and one is that they've made an offer to come down, and they do this for a lot of them. They'll come down and they'll install from 5 to 7 of them in different vehicles. Then they'll meet with a couple people and allow them access into the program. And for 30 to 60 days, we can have a free trial on this. And a committee the other day that was very much in favor of that, so we'll get a hold of her and see when we can do that. I visited with Gus a little bit, too, and we'll see. We'll find out more information that way because they'll come down and install them, and we'll find out if it's compatible with everything we have in our police vehicles and that type of thing. So we'll start working on that. The other thing was on a visit with Don, we believe we came up with, they were around, one of the units with just one of the things was $140 cost before, and the other one was $215. They've also made an offer now, and I've got to find out how long it's good for $80, and I'm not sure if it's for just the GPS or if it's for that and the maintenance also. I have not found out yet, but we'll find out how long that is good for also. But they did drop the price on this thing too to install these boxes in there or whatever. So we'll have more information for you as we go along. But otherwise, finance, we didn't have anything else.
Talk about payroll a little bit. I had talked to you the other day about payroll process.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I had communication with the clerk's office. There's a delay in several departments getting payroll in on time, and that backs up the clerk's office. And so we've talked for some time about getting away from the handwritten time clock, which all the claim, right now everything that we turn in is handwritten. And so I've told Dawn there's a program by MIPS to go through and get information, and that would be an electronic time card timekeeping system. And so I know when we changed our process some time ago, we were asking to have those time cards in by Friday, and that was probably a little unrealistic based on the feedback that we've had from several departments, so we backed it up to Monday. Monday by 10 o'clock is when payroll should be done so that the clerk's office can process it so that we can approve it here so that the claims can be put into the bank so that they can be put into direct deposit into the people's accounts. Well, if that gets delayed, that's not able to take place. One of the things that we could do, which I don't think is a real good option, but we could go back. We could back payroll up another 2 weeks. Well, basically, we're just moving that deadline date, and then people will push up against that deadline date as well. So the people are working for their money. The department heads and the elected officials need to get those time cards in so that they can be processed so people can get paid. But apparently there's a delay. So I don't know if the electronic system will help that. It should improve that, I would hope. Maybe some of the record keeping will be a little bit tighter. We can, a lot of those electronic systems, you can load all of your benefit things in there and it calculates that automatically. But the current system we have is, I don't know if it's temporarily broken or if the process is broken, but we've got to look at fixing the process because it all trickles down to a workload in the clerk's office that's going to delay everything and that people could conceivably not get their paychecks.
Or what are these people using for their excuse that they don't get it in? I think that's your number one issue, is they need to get on the ball and get it in.
I don't know. No, when you talk about backing up, we would back it up one more week, so then it would be a full
2 week delay.
Not another 2 weeks. It would be just one more week.
So I misspoke. So it'd be an additional week, which is not typically how most businesses pay. Typically, you turn your stuff in at the 1 week, they process it that week, and you get paid on that following Friday. So you turn it in on Monday and you get paid on Friday. Typically is how that works.
I think a lot of the counties have gone, if they're biweekly, they are a full 2 weeks. They are one pay period behind now with this law changing. There's a law that's changed where we have to provide every hour that this employee worked on their check, whether it's a benefit. We were doing that pretty much to the most degree that they're requiring now. There's still some things, like I think we've dealt with Gus's department, that we didn't have that up-to-date information. But, and I know we've had conversations with Julie, and it's the workload, I think, in a lot of the places trying to get them done.
It is for us. I can't think of anybody else, but like for us, we go up till midnight on Sunday, and then she gives her 3 hours to get it over. And she's not a pleasant person to be around Monday mornings. I'm on her case, but there's only so much you can do. So that's what we're up against.
And some of the uniqueness of the business that we're in, you know, we've got men that are out there working in the highway department that don't necessarily report to the highway department where the time card necessarily is. We do have the sheriff's folks that are out there and about doing. So there's some of the uniqueness of the business that going in the old paper system, when there's technology out there that could potentially ease that process. And there's a cost to it, but you know, we may be at that point. But, yeah, right now everything in our payroll and time cards and everything is handwritten. So
we'd also need to keep those people in mind when we develop some type of electronic system, if we do, because they won't be reporting to a central station for either one of them.
And there's some uniqueness to how we'll have to handle that, yeah.
Yeah.
I've believed for a long time that an electronic time system is the way to go. I think that it would pay for itself in the long run, just in the 5-10 minutes late or not showing, skipping out the door early or a little long lunch or something like this. And it would definitely save a lot of time in Don's office.
Well, I think the problem that we're running into is it backs us up that we can't get the information and completed in our 8-to-5 for the board to have to approve, first of all, and then we have to have so many days that we have to have a direct deposit sent because it's all wired up to South Dakota, a bank that our bank deals with, to get the funds into people's accounts in time. And they're giving us a deadline, so that's the backup. We know when there's a holiday we have to really crunch, and we do work late on those things, but those are... It's not an every biweekly pay period that. So we're running into those issues, and I'm not sure.
If it was every once in a while, I would probably just pat Don on the back and say, well, you got to deal with it. That's government,
well,
works slow.
And
but it seems,
yeah,
like the frequency is becoming more of the norm than not. So I just wanted to have that discussion. I just asked Don to get that information from MIPS, and then she can share that with us in the next couple of weeks and see what that looks like and see how we would proceed forward. So.
Well, President Obama gets blamed for everything else. Isn't this his fault, too?
George Bush's fault.
One thing, you might talk to the elected officials before you do this so that they have some input, because they're the ones that are going to catch it. If you go back them up again for another week before they get a check,
I'm saying that's not going to go real.
I'm not in favor of that, but that's a potential solution. I agree. But sometimes
by trying to solve a problem, we create three more.
Yeah.
So let's let everybody have some input, and maybe we can come. If it's a matter of I'm not getting those forms down here by 11 o'clock, then damn it, I won't go get them, or somebody will and get them down here at 9 o'clock. If that would help, and I understand that those two folks have some completely different, because you may have guys that aren't there on Monday. If they forget to sign it. And it's real tough to say you don't sign it, you're not getting paid. I know how that goes. So
we'll keep the discussion, but I wanted to throw that on just at least have that. So human resource and employee relations, anything new, Kathy?
No report.
I guess we kind of covered that in conjunction with the time card. Law enforcement, emergency management. Gus?
Several things, most of them were a big deal, I guess. One was, Minor and John can think of something different on here. We had our annual jail inspection. I was hoping to have a little better news, but by the time the fire marshal come through, we have a few more deficiencies. He wants fixed up now. They're not major handrails, certain kind of trainings that just doesn't coincide with how I do it, but it's on the books anyway. Smoke alarms, little things like that. So my thinking is we get those things done. I think Jill Standards will sign off, and we'll have inspection this year that was completed and okay, I guess. So outside of that, that was really the only, unless there's something you think of, Myron, that we discussed. I think that everything else is pretty much minuscule, really, in the scope of things. I did get packets to Don, and you should have those for the screening proposal. So then whenever you determine you've got your decisions, questions, whatever you want to talk about, just let me know, and we'll go from there on that. So
what Gus talked, did everyone have this?
Yes, they should all have that packet.
What Gus talked about in committee is that I suggested he get us the information so that we could look at it for a while, and then probably then since we've got it now, in 2 weeks, we'll put it on as a discussion item. There may be some things that are sensitive in here with regard to security that we can't talk about in open session, and we'll leave Gus to define that for us. But
that's on the cover sheet that indicates right there for the board. So
okay,
yeah.
So we'll talk about this in 2 weeks in open session. Kind of talk about the plan. If you've got any questions between this time, ask him. But this I didn't. Sometimes we get information on the same day, and it's hard to digest that we end up just flipping papers around. So this way we get a chance to look at this and come back in 2 weeks for discussion.
Is that October what, 1st? 3rd? What is that?
I've got to look behind me. October 1.
Okay, yeah, that should be good yet. So.
Does that work? Right.
Yep, that worked.
And then Gus called me late yesterday afternoon. There'll be an emergency executive session we're going to have at the end of the meeting. There'll be no action taking. It is regarding a potential security issue related to communications. There'll be no action. But I think it's something we all need to be aware of. So I talked to Roger already. It's not on there. He called me late yesterday afternoon. But in full disclosure, it is paramount that we meet. It's very important. So it'll be at the end of the meeting. But there'll be no action afterwards.
The only other thing I'll bring up is we did have a discussion on vehicles again and stuff. Yes. And about you possibly some of the state bids and ordering those. Probably won't just discuss that. So.
I told Myron he didn't give me enough money again, but
yeah.
I went ahead. I discussed with the board. The one thing I want to make sure on the same page is because it used to be the money for the vehicles was not in the budget. It was something I'd come in from the board on. Then it went back in again. So I want to make sure once it's in the budget, it's for mine when something comes up. I was able to come across a couple 2014s that are still sitting on the ground in Nebraska. So I spoke for those earlier this week after we met. And so we'll start that process. And between that and a little overage in that line, it hopefully will be awful close to getting transitioned around as well. So, and then we'll just kind of see how it goes next year. We couldn't get an agreement on a program, so we'll just go year by year again. But I understand your point.
I mean, I'm not against a program. I'm just saying that there's a potential that if we commit to a program that we're not really committed to because the finances change in the county.
That's a valid point. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Or board changes.
Yeah. We'll just keep going as we have been. So I think that's about it, Myron. Nothing else I don't think, was there?
Nope.
No. Okay. Thanks.
Tim, you got anything? No?
Well, I just, Tim, thank you for, we had some conversation on that EMPG grant,
right.
You know, and the funding and why, and Matt since then has had some discussion with Norm Wallman, and thank you for sending those emails out, basically what happened.
I got them.
Oh, you did?
You got them, good.
Said if they failed somehow.
Okay. Oh. That's just the automatic reply I have to certain people.
I get them. But explain it. The other day I didn't quite understand it. After you sent the emails out, I understand why the state has kind of denied our funding for the last half of what we turned in as claims for last year's budget, basically.
That's right. I didn't get an option to claim the last half.
Right. Basically, it was because of our transition between Mark and Tim and everything, and then not allowing him access because he had to have a password for Gage County and not his previous county and so on, and a lot of things. But we're following up on it, but go ahead.
Yeah, what happened was, like I said, there was some transition going on between me and Knuckles, Gage and here, and then understanding what my how I was supposed to get onto the GMS, which is the grant management system for that, so I can make the claims. When I finally got access, after working with them several times, trying to get a password, trying to figure out how I'm supposed to log on to Gage, they finally let me know almost a week prior to where they started closing them. Once I got access, I got onto it and tried to do that. I found out that there was some other proof of encumbrance, which takes some time for them to okay that. By the time they okayed that, that's when the grant was closed. Once that grant's closed, then we're too late to claim.
And there was excess funding in there, according to their email.
According to their email.
This got closed, so since they hadn't committed all those funds, they went ahead and committed those to some other people that had extra claims. Well,
that's when I said that, we may or we should get that money back because they said that there was some extra. Well, through their transitions with some people that retired, said that they miscalculated on what they had extra. So then they said that they cannot let us have that money. So
don't know how to be. We're still working with it. Visit with Norm's office.
I'll forward all that information to Jenny Bollmeyer. She's always been helpful in Norm's office. I talked to Norm Monday night. Must have been Monday night. I saw him in Cortland.
Yeah.
And so,
but between their office and our county here having the transition we did, it was kind of stuff that just got missed.
And the emails that I read, the lady by the name of Nancy, very appropriate, very cordial. Is that her name?
It's Cindy Newsham, yeah.
She's very appropriate. I just disagree with the process. It just seems like there was enough reasons there that there should have been some sort of account.
There's a lot of things that are going on. See, and it happened to be where Pilger was going on at the same time and Beaver Crossing and all that. And once that starts to happen, the state is stretched, or NEMA is stretched, kind of beyond their limits, and that was extra beyond their limits, and they're realizing that they need to do some cross training, and that's what the new director is trying to do, to get more people involved and can answer questions that when other people are not around.
Thank you.
Stay tuned.
Thank you much.
All right. Harry.
Yes, Matt, Road and Bridge. Just some updates. Philly Bridge, last Thursday poured the deck. This week we'll be pouring guardrails and post for the deck. Finished the patchwork on the Wiremore Liberty Road September 15th. The county's crews are starting to replace culverts on those three remaining culvert projects on the Wiremore Liberty Road. Galen said approximately 1.5 weeks per culvert is what the time frame, weather permitting, is going to be. So go from one to the next. Of course, the claims on the blacktop roads, Myron discussed that already. Liberty Bridge, deck slabs are set on September 8th, and they're doing guard railing dirt work, plan on opening it this fall. South 66 Road, update on that. Equipment is doing some subgrading right now. So we think as things progress, it'll be good poured and finished fairly quickly. Shop windows. Galen's asked about, there's 9 windows in the shop that are substandard. I want to know about replacement in those. Approximate cost, $2,000. So we said to go ahead and get that done probably whenever, weather permitting, the people are in there. We can do it ourselves, replacement. Trees, I think that's coming up for discussion. We've had several complaints from townships that they've tried to request that some of the trees, shrubs get removed from the right-of-ways with to no avail. So we're going to discuss this in a little bit. It's up on the discussion. Weight limits also. It's my contention that we need to pull these postings on these roads. Galen's going to find out a little more information to make sure what I'm saying is correct, but hopefully at the next meeting we'll go through all the weight limits we have and see where we think they should be, hopefully pull some of them, you know, and go by state standards. So we'll go through that. Everybody has the resolutions that we've had in the past, and we'll see what we can do. But that I will hope to have a full board discussion. I'll have all the information we need for next meeting.
That's it?
That's it.
Spend $2.1 million and that's it.
Oh.
There's something else.
That's not it.
You know, briefly, as far as rock and gravel, we're having those bids today. But where we're at from the spring allocations, approximately we're about on township number 11 or 12 right now, so we're working through them. I know we're behind, but we'll continue to try to get caught up. And I know you heard me use this before, but just the availability of our supplies are just harder and harder to get. So, but we're I think ahead of where we were last year, so we're gaining ground.
We did have a timed event at 9 o'clock. It was our Veterans Honors, but due to a medical condition, the gentleman will not be here today, so we'll follow up with that next time. We have another timed event at 9:30, which is to accept our gravel bids, and so we're about 20 minutes out from that. Let's jump into the approve or disapprove permit number 1002 for the Village of Adams. Chris Schieber to trench an 8-inch...
Schieber.
Close enough. Schieber. Apologize for that. To trench an 8-inch PVC water line in the southeast corner of Section 27, Township 6 North, Range 8 East, in Adams Township. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion?
Steve Robinson from the City Council. He is here. So.
If you've got questions, please ask. Basically, what we're doing in this, and I'll address something you asked me about, Myron, too.
Okay, please identify yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Steve Robeson. I'm with the Village of Adams. I'm kind of in charge of this project by default because nobody else wanted to take it, which seems to happen more and more every day. What we're doing is we're going to be adding 8 new lots for brand new homes on the south part of Adams. In that corner, we have added quite a few new homes over the last 10 to 12 years. And when that was done, it was done prior to the law from the state of no dead-end lines, water lines. So in this project, we are going to be also hooking in those and looping those for us. We're coming down the road, and I always forget the number of the road.
52nd? Is it 100?
Yeah. Our 10-year plan is to actually, we're going halfway now, half mile. Our 10-year plan would be to go all the way to the final of that mile, then catch that township road, and go all the way over to the Adams-Philly Blacktop. That's our 10-year plan. Things that would be in that would be a new water tower. Our water tower is at 100 years old. We would also be able to hook in multiple dead lines on the south end of town and loop our whole system. For Adams to grow, south is where we have to go. We have to go south, and we could possibly go a little bit to the west. We can't go north. So what we're trying to do with this project, not only fulfill adding these 8 lots, but look to the future. And if we're going to spend some dollars, let's spend some dollars that's going to be used later also. Myron had mentioned to me after your guys' meeting about the possibility of the Village of Adams maybe annexing that mile. Right now, we don't have the equipment or the correct manpower to actually do that and maintain that properly, so I don't want to do it without that part of it. But I would tell you that after you mentioned that, in the back of my mind, I drove about 700 miles in the last 2 days, so I had some windshield time to think about it. I think that would be a great thing to add to our 10-year plan, is trying to annex that road as well as the road going east and west back there going into the future. And part of that, I think, would hinge on, with the TIF financing of E-Energy coming off in 2021, that would possibly get us dollars to be able to do that, because if we did it, I would want to pave those. I would want to asphalt those two roads. The north-south road would really need it. I mean, it's a tough road to maintain with the amount of traffic that it gets. So that would be something I would want to put into our 10-year plan. Of course, that's coming with you guys and letting us do it. I don't see you fighting giving up a mile that you don't have.
I like the way that you verbalize in a public session that that's a difficult stretch of road to maintain.
It is a difficult road to maintain. There is no question about that.
A lot of people are going, uh-huh.
Yeah. With those two curves and the traffic you get, it just is. So that's why, like, if for us looking towards the future of continuing to develop that direction, that is something that, we're going to need to want to do, I guess, is that. And this is phase one of doing those types of things. I know it's difficult because we're going to have to be close to the roadbed, closer than I want to be. But due to where the sewer line was laid, we don't have a choice. And I guess my thing to you guys is we need that road to be in good shape as much as you guys want it to be in good shape. I've told our engineer that I need him when that section is on site. I want him down there twice a week during that phase, because I do not want whoever we have as a contractor to skimp there whatsoever. If you guys want your guy there, and if he's got any suggestions as they're doing it, absolutely. Because we want that roadbed to stay, especially if I'm going to try to annex it in the future. I want the base there also. Questions?
Well, that would be my only concern with the location of that water line, you know, so close to the road top. It's just the county maintenance, you know, to keep that. It's going to be a year or two, as we all know, that's going to settle. And,
yes.
And there's going to be some, just so the county doesn't have a lot of upkeep, is what I'm saying. That's my concern.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. And that's something that, you know, I don't know if we need to put it actually on paper or not, but we would sure work with you, because okay. We need that road too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the main thoroughfares into Adams from the south. Now that the blacktop's in better shape, people move over there, but they still use that gravel road quite often.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, the other day when you brought up the sewer line, well, I thought, well, sewer line, we can move the sewer line, but then no, this Adams is lagoon system, this is the main sewer line that runs out of town and runs down to the lagoon system, which is across the road and a little bit farther south.
Yeah,
it's
a pressurized sewer line that we put in.
Not that long ago, five, eight years ago. That's not something you can just.
It's not something we can move on
side so that you put a water line in.
Right, right.
And there's a requirement that they've got to be so far apart and stuff.
Yes.
So.
And that was probably a mistake on the village's part. I wasn't involved in that part, but that we probably should have ran that to the other side of this road immediately. But they didn't want to go through the road and mess up the road. So, you know, it's a, you know, two-edged swords type of situation.
Sorry.
So during committee meetings, Galen shared some of his concerns with us, and I think that, if things come up, we will be contacting Adams regarding that stretch of road, and I think I appreciate Galen's comments on that, some of his concerns, because we've had other water projects north of Beatrice. There's been some issues, which has kind of preempted the caution on this one. I appreciate that. So,
absolutely.
As long as everyone's aware that if it comes up, we'll come knocking at them. So.
Yes.
Anything else? We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion regarding the permit? Seeing none, vote. 6-0 to approve.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. Okay, let's do, we got 10 minutes. We can do approve or disapprove the EMS agreements between Gage County and the City of Beatrice, Odell Fire and Rescue, Village of Adams, and Cortland Rural Fire Board. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Motion to approve.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Dorman. Discussion. Myron, you worked on these.
These I guess, that just did last year, too. We updated them after actual start of them, July 1st, but we sent them all out. We just updated the dates, basically, and the funding stayed the same. We just added the one paragraph in there, though, this time that the county reserves the right to withhold their fourth and final funding until we get a report from them, a report of their activities during the year. And if that report does not come by the end of the fiscal year, then we also reserve the right to permanently withhold that funding. So that was the only change in it. I believe they're all aware of it. And I don't know if these are all of them then, or if we still have a few more yet to come in, I think.
These are the only ones that have come back so far. We've got a few of them out yet. A
couple of them out yet, so.
Okay. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Let's talk about trees. I need a motion to approve or disapprove developing a policy to assist townships in the tree removal process.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
Matt, this is coming from the township officials it's the landowner's responsibility to take care of trees in the right of way. And a few of the township officials have tried to enforce that. Some have sent out letters to all the landowners in their township. Most, 95-99% of the people comply and do a good job. But there's those few absentee landowners, people that take no action, and it's all being driven by safety concerns. Intersections like that where their visibility is low. So with that in mind, the township officials have sent out, letters and to no avail, no response. So we've talked about this probably as long as I've been on the board as far as, helping the townships with maybe some teeth behind this. So through the county, I've talked to, or through the shop down there, I've talked to Galen. They'll try to come up with some kind of letter that will come from the board, to the landowners, and we're working on it. We don't know exactly how to do it. We'll get together with Roger, too, and see what we can do to maybe kind of have some kind of a time frame. Well, you've got, we've seen there's a problem here. We'd like to have this addressed and respond to us, or however you want to word it, that we get some kind of an answer back from the landowners. So that's where we're at. We're working on it, or we'll continue to work on it. And Myron, you have any more information?
Well, just we try and contact them, or the townships try and contact them, or write letters, or do something. We're still going to have that all in place. I mean, that's going to be part of this thing going forward. But some of them express that there's always those few that, for whatever reason, haven't removed the trees. And how do we get some action? I guess, and that's why at our committee meeting we had this enough discussion that decided that if we as a board would put together a letter so that after these other avenues have been pursued and not gotten the results or gotten any results, that then we would have something that we could send this out, and you have, we don't know the days, but so many days, and then with something with a little bit of teeth. And like I said, we're going to visit with Roger to make sure this is all legal, I guess.
Well, you've got statutes that cover this, and there's built-in time frames that they've got more than enough time. I mean, whether it's Galen's office that send a letter out, or the township board, because I've approved, and basically they're using a very similar letter to what your department sends out. And once it gets to my desk, then I have to send it out, a notice, and they got 30 days then before I can file anything. So, I mean, and quite frankly, it's usually the out-of-state folks that are hard to reach them. One thing I know, one of the townships we tried to do was the tenant that was working on it. We worked with them. And I don't know. Sometimes it takes one of those cases where, I mean, it's $100 per day until you get the trees trimmed. And like you said, Terry, there's some really nasty ones, but I think Galen's office does a really good job. I know we had some up there on the north west corner up there by Claytonia that some folks had talked about, and I think that those got trimmed up. So, but we're getting into harvest where the big, you know, bigger trucks and visibility is an issue more, and with school going.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I'd like to make a comment. I'm lucky where I live in our township, which is Glenwood Township. The officials have taken a policy where they hire someone. I don't know what the cost is. I think it's minimal in the long run of things, but they hire someone to do so many miles of their township and go in there and cut. If there's small trees growing, you know, they spray them. This time of year, I think that they spray whatever they got to, and they correct that problem, you know, early on, that in 10 years that tree will be uncontrolled. So anyway, it's another avenue that, you know, some of the people could think about. I know money's tight every place, so but it's just another thing that does help, you know.
More discussion. All right, so we'll work on that policy, and by put it on here as a resolution, as an action item, so we're committing ourselves to the process. We have a motion and a second. If there's no further discussion, we'll take a vote. 6-0 to approve. Let's see here. We'll just wait a couple minutes. Here we have a timed event for rock and gravel bids, and then we'll spend the balance of our meeting talking about setting the approving the budget and tax requests for 14-15 budget year. So we're just 3 minutes away. I guess we can go back to anything related to committee reports that we just want to discuss, follow up, forgot to bring up.
I've got a question for Galen, and it's in regards to trees and similar to what Glenwood Township is doing. Would it be possible for the sign guys to give us an inventory of how many county roads we have that short tree cover, shrub cover that should be taken care of at this time and not let it develop into something more?
Yeah, we can have them drive all the county roads.
Yeah. I mean, it don't have to be immediately, but as part of their, you know, sign checking duties, let us know where they're all at and how many of them's there, and if we should be doing something as a county like Glenwood Township's doing and some of the other townships that I've talked to do a similar thing, and it is better to keep ahead of them.
University student to do that as part of a they're looking for stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Surplus flamethrowers. Just going
everybody's got to be a student. Sometimes.
Burn them out.
Let's get on.
Listen a minute here.
Yep.
Yes.
You don't have a letter. I'll give you that.
Tear it.
Yeah, still do. Let's get them back.
So I've got 1 minute to go, Terry.
Yep. Obviously, 9 o'clock would work better on Monday. Because, I mean, mine are done. Actually, I'd tell them if they want paid on Monday. Sign one, right?
Maybe.
Where's my
I'm just saying, is it more the people that have different? That would be tough. So it's your responsibility to turn in the timesheet. Yeah, he did. He had to get a check, but.
I did notice that Matt and Don have an air conditioner over there on their end of the.
Take that
sure feel good today.
We're grinding out all this.
There's such things as them little hot moments.
Notice you fanning.
No, it's taking care of that.
It's her radiant personality. We just got to have something to cool it off over here.
Okay, all right.
You buy that?
That's very appropriate.
It was
very
nicer than what you were thinking.
All right, 9:30 on the clock. I need a motion to close all bids, accept and close all bids, potential bids for rock and gravel. And this is for our fall allotments.
Yes.
I need a motion to close all bids.
Make a motion to close all bids.
Moved by Juergens, seconded by Hill. Vote 6-0. We've closed all bids. We will go through and open those. See how much money Juergens wants to spend now. I pick on him because he's way down there. If he was closer, I'd have to be nicer.
This first bid is from Rock On, and it's delivery cost from Sites Quarry to Weeping Water to three different pit locations, and the delivery cost all vary per township. So on this, I'll just give an example. They range anywhere per ton cost from $6.50 all the way to $11.50 per ton. That's from Du Bois to the Sites Quarry. Hauling cost anywhere from $2.60 per ton up to $5.50, I believe, on that one. And hauling cost on from Weeping Water range everywhere from approximately $13.59 per ton as low as down to $9 per ton. So that's just basically hauling the material. Rock On again. These are hauling costs from two different pits. First pit is from the Powell pit. Approximate cost anywhere from $5 to $9.50 per ton. That's from the Powell pit. And Alexander pit cost anywhere from $6 all the way up to $10.50
per ton.
Rock On.
Rock On. Okay.
This is from Ace Sand and Gravel. Pit price from Ace Sand and Gravel, $9.80 per ton. And on that I should write bids good till pit runs out. So.
And that happens.
Yeah. So basically, his hauler is Rock On Incorporated. Using those spices in there. So anyway, the main part of this one is $9.80 per ton for gravel from Ace Sand and Gravel. This particular one Beatrice Concrete Inc. Incorporated, pit price of $13.45. This is for rock, and the rock is priced $13.45 per ton, and basically includes 3/4 all the way up to 3 to 5 inch rock. That's the main meat of it right there. And the delivery cost is included on this for all the townships. They range from $2.18 all the way up to $6.29. Beatrice Concrete. Consolidated sand and gravel out of Fairbury. gravel bid, pit price $9.85 per ton. Okay, this first one is the Powell pit is $9.60 per ton. And looking at the spring allocation, it's exactly the same price as what we had priced for the spring allocation for the Powell pit. And then the next pit, which is, the Alexander pit, which is the other pit, is $9.85 per ton, which is an identical price to what we had on this spring bid for those two locations.
Historically, what we've done is we will accept all bids pending review by the highway department. They go through and they itemize all those things, and we'll come back and reaffirm those. So we will. I guess I need a motion to refer those to the highway department for review, and then we will formally approve those at our next meeting in case there's something in there that doesn't match. It's never been an issue, but you just never know. So we'll just have... And then they tabulate those and they put those all out for us. So I need a motion to refer those. Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Second by Hill. Any more discussion? Vote 6-0 to approve.
Just to refer them to
the... We're just going to refer them to the highway department so they'll look at them so that we know, we have on record who all submitted them, and then we'll go through and tabulate those.
2 weeks,
2 minutes. Or does Gail or Don? Yeah.
Now, anyway. Okay. All right. Well, Myron, let's go through here. So this is just a duplication?
Nope. We have to approve.
It's the same. This is the exact same. Last two. Is it supposed to read differently, or is it just...
No. Well, the tax request, yeah, I must have...
Okay, so that's just an extra. Okay, yeah. Just before we jump into it, just to clarify. Okay. I need a motion to approve or disapprove resolutions setting the 2014-2015 tax request at a different rate than the 2013-2014 tax request.
So moved.
Resolution 14-22.
Resolution 14-22.
14-22.
22.
Moved by Myron.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion.
Is that this sheet?
That's that sheet.
Yeah.
Finance Chairman, I'll just kind of...
Just a couple things on there, I guess. I don't have the exact dollar amount. here. This does include our bond, our amount we're requesting for our bond, because I believe I had the paperwork here this morning. We were just a little bit over $8 million for our actual budget request. I was trying to find that, and I apologize. I can't find it here. Right? Oh, here it is, $8,012,645. But this resolution, what we have here, this $8,577,582 includes the amount that is for our road bond.
Correct.
Because when I first looked at that, I thought, that's not the amount we had. But then it also lists on there our tax levy. And a proposed levy to fund this tax request this year will be 0.336924, which has gone down, but I've discussed in the past. Majority of that reason why is because of the increase in valuation in our county.
Okay. Any further discussions? I think we've had a lot of discussion. Open session, public, three or four different meetings, public hearing. So we have a motion and a second. Resolution 14-22. Seeing no further discussion, vote 6-0 to approve. Next, now we'll formally approve or disapprove resolution number 14-23, adopting the county budget for fiscal year 2014-2015.
Motion to approve.
You better move for your own budget there, my gosh. Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Byers. Myron, discussion.
I have Dawn discuss this. I apologize. I thought, like you, this was a duplication.
The first one is a resolution that I'm not sure. That's just the process that we have to do is to show what it was last year, what it's going to be this year. Now, this is your formal of approving. You just approved your tax request.
That's this one that...
And then this one here is we're passing the budget.
And this one here we all need to sign.
Correct.
We'll all individually sign this one, yes.
Yes, but this is saying you agree we're passing the budget.
Yes.
And I see that I must have made one to make sure that the budget got passed because I have two agenda items on here to see.
Exact same wording.
Sorry on that one.
No, and, but I, yeah, it's just another resolution that is part of the process, so.
Yep.
Paperwork. Details.
Any more discussion? I think we've had a lot of discussion, a lot of comments with the other elected officials and some feedback. So no more discussion. We have a motion and a second. Vote 6-0 to approve the budget. All right.
And I'd just like to say one other thing here now. I'd like to thank all the department heads, Gus, Galen, all of them in the building, and especially Dawn, her office there, for all the time, effort, and work that they put into this process, too. It's not just us as a committee meeting and going over this and trying to see if that's something the county wants to do or if these funds are being spent the way we want them to be spent. But it's a lot of other time with a lot of other department heads, and thank them for all their time. I mean, I know it's part of the job, but it takes some work to do this and to get it to where you can pass a budget.
Anything else? Like I said before, there was an emergency thing that came up late yesterday afternoon that we will be going into closed session for. There will be no action. It is related to law enforcement and communications, and it is a sensitive issue, so we're not going to talk about that in public. And this is necessary for the protection of the public interest or for protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. I need a motion to go into closed session.
So moved.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Second by Setzer. Vote 6-0. Motion to come out of closed session, 11:21.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Dorn. Vote 7-0. Anything else for the good of the order? No. All right. We will adjourn the Board of Supervisors 11:22.